Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
What's good, internet? It's Friday, May 22nd, and you're listening to Waypoint Radio, episode 316. Wow, I really could have done like a cool, like Stone Cold Steve Austin 316 thing.
Do you want to try it again?
No, I absolutely don't. I don't have it in me. I don't have the time. I'm crunched by deadlines. You can hear it in my voice that I haven't slept. I'm your host, Austin Walker. Joining me today, Gita Jackson.
Hello, I'm Gita.
Hi, Gita. And Ricardo Contreras. How you doing?
Imagining you fucking slamming two beers together right now in your bedroom. It's happening.
I wish. I could go get a couple beers. I feel like that would be a bad way to kick off this day that's supposed to go for the next 12 hours of work.
There are worse ways.
There are worse ways. You're right. You're not. Was that a beer? Did someone just open a beer?
No, that was me knocking my iced coffee into my pop filter.
I was hoping someone, I was like, Rob has snuck into the call and opened a beer.
Mina has joined the call. Mina has joined us
with an IPA.
Ella in the background just grabbed a cat beer.
with two cans of Steve Weiser. We are here at the end of the week. We've all made it. This is the longest week ever. I am dying inside. But that's okay, because if I look outside my window, the world is coming alive. The weather is getting better. And I thought I'd get to enjoy it too much right now. But it's good. Everything's getting better out there. In fact, I hear, Gita, that this is also coming to the spring is coming to The Sims. The world is coming alive again. Sims, yes. I don't remember the name of this. Okay, let me see if I can find it in my head. Eco? Mm-hmm. Is Eco in there?
Eco's in there.
Is it a straight up name? Like, is it just like the Eco something pack? Or is there like a fun?
It's always like a two word phrase, basically. There's the Get series, Get Famous, Get Together. And then there's like Cats and Dogs. And like that's like more specifically about that.
Eco and Dogs.
Eco dogs, yeah.
Eco dogs.
It's about ecologically conscious dogs. It's about a team of super dogs that tell you to sort your recycling. No, it's eco lifestyle.
Oh,
I
eco
also
lifestyle.
Call it eco living a lot because there's the tiny living pack.
Right, yes.
Man, that's a lot. But eco lifestyle,
which is all about the environment and environmentalism, question mark?
Yeah, it's about environmentalism, sustainable living, and the environment. It's very explicitly about these things. It's really a fascinating pack. I think one of the most ambitious packs I've seen from The Sims team. It's definitely, like, for me, on the level of trying new ideas that you saw from the original Max's team, where they're just, like, actually holistically looking at life and thinking about what actually affects people in the world. And it turns out global warming affects everybody. So it's interesting. It's massive and it's hard to describe like what would be the main feature of it, because there's like, it's like what's his name? The main Doom, you know, the guy that everybody knows. I'm so tired. Also, I've been working a lot.
Who are you talking about?
Doom. The guy you know, everybody Doom, the knows. Video game Doom. With the long hair. John Romero.
John Romero. Yes. Not who I associate with The Sims normally.
No, but when he was talking, I talked to him about Empire of Sin, which is the game he and his wife, Brenda Romero, are making, her game, really. And he, like, I was, like, really charmed by how much he is so impressed by Brenda's skills. He, like, spent a good 10 minutes just talking about how, what an amazing designer she is. And at one point he described the game as mechanic soup, where it's a lot of different things. And it could easily become a mess. But, like any good soup, it's all actually tied together in some way. And all of the flavors that are in this soup all make sense with each other. If you picked out individual elements, they might be feel disconnected, but somehow it just works. And that's how I feel about this pack also.
Ah, gotcha. So wait, yeah. What's up with this pack?
So it's a pack where for the first time, simmers get like an antagonist in the game. And the antagonist, I guess if they'd like it to be, is this little bar at the bottom of the screen that shows what your eco footprint is. And it can either be industrial or green. And industrial is associated with, you know, industrialization, pollution, smog, browns in the environment, brown colors, polluted water, all that stuff. And green is associated with trees, you know, sustainable living, reduce, reuse, recycle, that kind of stuff. And what's so interesting to me is like your individual actions can push that bar into the green, right? Mm-hmm. But it won't do it very much. So if the player is thinking about this game from the perspective of, I want to push this bar all the way to one direction or all the way to the other, then what they have to do is there's these new things called community action plans, where there's like a bulletin board in this neighborhood where that has a bunch of different proposals for things that you can vote on that this community wants specifically to happen in their neighborhood. And there's three different neighborhoods in this new world, and they all have their own individual community action plans. And you have to like actually influence people in the neighborhood to support the things you want to support. It's a grassroots organizing simulator.
Do they have like a natural predisposition one way or the other based on different action plans, or are they just like neutral until someone pushes on them?
No, they have their own wants and desires. I think it's trait based. Okay. In the beginning, you'll get introduced to like two characters that will show you kind of like the two kinds of people. These are pre-made Sims. One of them is like a guy who's, you know, a grody looking. He looks like a lot of Oberlin students that I've known in my lifetime. Mm. Just like he smells a little bad, but he's well-meaning. And he comes up and he talks to you about voting green and voting for only green issues. But then another character comes up and is like, well, you can also make a lot of money with these community action plans. And if you wanted to vote for the more industrial stuff, then, well, a bunch of money could start rolling your way. And, you know, there's some certain characters that are more inclined to vote in other ways. But what I found, I tried to just like canvas like you would on the street where you like just go and talk to someone and be like, hey, do you want to sign this? Like immediately right, afterward.
Right.
But it emphasizes making personal connections with people in your community to try to convince them over a period of time to support the things you want to support. What's fun and simmy about it, though, is like in the meantime, you get stuck with a bunch of community action plans that just fucking suck and ruin your life in a fun way. The one that I really hated that I spent so long trying to repeal, and like it was like a multiple week campaign that I launched because I just hated it so much, was called Sharing is Caring. And it basically just allows people to come over to your house and steal your shit. And that just kept happening to me. Like, I made myself a little beautiful, like, little shipping container house. And the girl that I was trying to get my character to flirt with kept coming over. And she'd wander up to the shipping container that was the kitchen. And then I'd go up there and there'd be, like, three countertops and the stove gone. And I'm like, where are you keeping that even?
That's very
keep
weird.
Keep it back to me. God.
Listen,
so
even Marxists and anarchists believe in personal property, just not private property.
Exactly.
No one should take your fucking toothbrush, you know?
No. What are you going to do with that toothbrush? You're not going to put it in your mouth. That's disgusting.
Please. Please.
Please don't.
That sounds interesting. I'm curious if you found like that there's like an interesting line that it feels like it's trying to walk, because like on one hand, it is definitely way more communal sounding than most some stuff that I'm familiar with in terms of, hey, to have an outcome, you need a lot of people to gather to do this thing or to agree to do this thing, which is, of course, part of the way in which any, you know, large scale, you know, local or worldwide change happens is collaboration between people. At the same time, I'm definitely curious if you felt like, you know, one of the big things that we've seen a lot of pushback on in the last decade, especially regarding ecological change and green initiatives, is pushing away from the idea of like the individual as the like individual actors being the thing that need to change versus governments, companies, big picture things like to change the way the environment is slowly, not so slowly, rapidly being destroyed, is like more than just, you know, one person goes out and canvasses and convinces people that what we need to do is have a community garden. That's a good thing we should do 100%. But I'm curious if it manages to walk that line where I'm just curious how it handles
it's interesting.
Yeah.
It sort of reveals to me the limitations of The Sims' universe broadly. So The Sims is like a PG-13 universe. Like, they don't have sex. They woohoo. They don't drink alcohol.
Wait a second. They have sex.
No.
Is woohooing not sex?
Woohoo is not sex. Specifically not sex.
Wait. How do they get pregnant?
After you specifically woohoo to try for a baby, you can get pregnant, but it's not sex. They don't reap. I don't know what they do under those covers. It might be budding, but it's not sex. The Sims team have said in order for them to get the T for teen rating, it needs to not be sex.
That's silly. Huh. That doesn't make any sense to me.
They also don't drink alcohol. They drink juice, and they don't get drunk. They get a sugar high.
Yeah, I mean that.
And they get a sugar crash.
I get that because of the part where you don't get pregnant from drinking beer. Like, I get it. I need a quote. I gotta find them talking about this. Woohoo, not sex. That's my new movement, actually. I think none of us should have sex anymore.
We gotta get under the covers and then just move the covers up and down, which is what woohooing is.
Right. Here is a story from one Gita Jackson on Kotaku.com about
woohooing is not sex.
Instead of having sex. Huh. Wait, is that true? I guess that's true. Yeah, Woohoo didn't exist in the first Sims game until that expansion. I need to not just read this article of yours from 3 years ago.
I can just tell it to you. I specifically remember this article and writing this one. I've written so many fucking articles for Kotaku, man. Yeah. I was blogging 3 times a day. So there's a lot of shit. You could probably find a blog of mine that I don't remember writing, and that'll be the fun one. But I remember all the Sims blogs I wrote because they're deeply important to me. It's a PG-13 world, which means the question of who is doing the polluting cannot have certain answers. Like, there is a politics career, but it's not like they have elections in The Sims, right?
Right, you just get good at your job until you're president of the world.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if that's the current, you know, thing. I don't know if that's the current end of the politics path, but I know in the past it was very much like, you're a world leader now.
Yeah, in The Sims 3, it was definitely you became president of the world when you got to the level 10 of the politics career. Right. I'm not sure what it is in this one because I never do the politics career. This painting, you'd make a lot of money easy. But there's no corporations that need to be held accountable for their actions here. So when your footprint is already all the way in the industrial, you do get the sense that the Sims team was trying not to say that individual actions are the only things that matter by introducing this communal aspect to it. Right. But like, who are they stopping from polluting?
But like,
that haunts me.
When you say that, are they stopping anyone from polluting, or is it more just like from watching the trailer, it's like we can have a community maker space.
Also, all really cool, and I want to get into that in a minute, but.
Yeah. But like, is it restrictive? Is it like we're voting for these regulations?
Yeah, it is.
It's just not clear on who is being regulated.
water conservation is like a thing you can, like power conservation is a thing you can regulate.
Wait, but like that stuff is the stuff that, that's the stuff that again is like in The Sims, that would mean like, like I saw that there's like solar panels and stuff in this. So yeah, presumably you can be like, hey, we're all going to get move on to solar panels or whatever. But that is just about your neighborhood. That's not about like industry.
Okay. Eventually there is something you can vote for. I don't think it unlocks right away. I think you have to like, I'm not 100% sure. I only got like 3 or 4 days with this expansion. It's an early alpha, you know, it wasn't quite complete. And I only got to play with it with this expansion pack.
Right. Until next month, right? Or like a few weeks.
Yeah, like early June is when it's out. They're showing this to people pretty early, which is pretty cool, honestly. They told me, I saw a presentation from the Sims dev team. They told me that there are connections with other packs, which is what really excites me, honestly, because like the tiny living pack folds very neatly into the idea of living sustainably in an eco lifestyle. But yeah, you know, in the community action pack, I wasn't 100% sure if you can unlock this right away or if it's something that you work up to, but you can eventually just vote for supporting green initiatives in name of your neighborhood. And that means the environment over time will physically change from an industrialized environment with dead grass and litter and like industrial, like pieces of industrial equipment all over the town, to one with no litter and green grass and clear water and lots of new trees. And there's an implication there that it's not just the community, that your neighbors that are contributing to
your neighbors cannot make the river nice. They can't. There's nothing they can do by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting, though.
It is pretty good at showing the limitations of like what a community can do and like how frustrating it is. I'm excited about a lot of teenagers who are learning about grassroots movements and are about to be able to vote in this upcoming election, seeing a example of how positive change can be enacted by just organizing your neighborhood.
Right. Go knock on doors, go talk to people, go like meet your neighbors and try to like figure out what shared needs you have. Like that stuff is all really cool. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's pretty neat. It's just, there's this question of like, it's not like I don't think that the Sims team is not aware of the fact that major corporations do most of this pollution in the world. It's just that there's no room in The Sims 4 for that kind of idea to exist.
It just, I feel like they could do it. It's just a matter of stepping on certain toes. And like, I mean, I happened to just look up the politician stuff, the like, what are the career paths for politicians in Sims 4? And I forgot that the Sims stuff splits now. Sims 4, like career paths all end with two different paths. And one of them is like, you become a national leader. It doesn't say what type of national leader, but presumably, you know, the executive of some nation, the Sims nation. But the other path is that you become a philanthropist, and like the top level 10 thing is a charity icon in which you rest atop a heap of goodwill, charitable donations and causes solved to bask in the glow of a world better served. Enjoy the feels because you've earned them. And it's like, this is a game that has decided that the worldview that it has is one in which philanthropy is fundamentally as good as political change, right? Like, and that is just the world that it is. Like, it is absolutely a deeply neoliberal, like, dream world in which like that has always been part of what The Sims' appeal and also problems have been like the social breadth of neoliberalism. That's like, anyone can be the head of a crime syndicate, or
if you just work hard enough.
Right. Exactly. If you just work hard, it's a real meritocracy out there. I don't care who you woohoo.
God. But, well, everyone's by default bisexual.
I mean,
you have to think about like what kinds of things do or do not exist in the Sims world, right? Capitalism as it exists in our world does not exist in the Sims world because there's no scarcity. You can always get food. You can always get jobs. So do when you follow that rabbit hole down, it's like, are corporations even necessary in this world? If like, you can just like literally, you can go on your cell phone and apply for a job and get it the same day and start the next day.
Or is it just that there are infinite corporations? And so, like, you never get laid off. Do you get laid off? Can you get laid off in the Sims? Probably not, right?
You have to work really hard.
Right, but you can't just get demoted.
You can't just get fired,
but you can't just, like, get a call one day that's like,
no,
hey,
there's
look.
No layoffs.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
The industry is shrinking. there's a downturn right now. I know you did your best. Too bad. It's not that game.
No.
Yeah.
It's not. It's friendly and it's warm and fuzzy.
Yes.
It's an idyllic version of our world. But that means if they try to translate some of the problems of our world into it, they just run into these like walls where they can't do anything about it.
Yes, that makes perfect sense. Yeah. You mentioned before we started that there's some drama involved here.
Oh my God.
I need to know.
Okay, so I love the Simmer community and I love Simmers. But if there's one thing that's very true about the Sims community in general is that a large portion of it are teenage girls and they are bored and are mad a lot of the time. I remember being a teenage girl and I was bored and mad all the time. Not like a ding. It's just when you're older, you'll get it. I hated hearing that when I was younger, but you know, it's fucking true. So they looked at the trailer and... God, okay. Well, it starts with this. There was a fake leak before this pack came out saying that this would be a farming pack. And then people got really excited for a farming pack.
Sure.
A farming pack that never existed. That someone made up a fake leak. So then when instead it was revealed that it would be leak. And it's understandable that people believe this leak because almost every leak from The Sims 4 has ended up being true. This is the first one I think was a hoax. And I remember seeing that leak and thinking, huh, probably true. I'll get an email about it in a couple of days if it's real. I got an email and it was about something else entirely. And I was like, okay, well, here we go. But Sims fandom, who had gotten themselves excited about owning chickens and running a farm, living off the land, when they heard that the next pack was going to be Eco Lifestyle, they got pretty upset. And when the Sims fandom gets upset, they start to really, really nitpick really, really small things. Like when they saw the trailer, which was revealed late last week or early this week, they pointed out like one or two like animations and were like, oh, these are from different packs. I can't believe how lazy the Sims team is. They're just recycling content to be in this pack. And they like tried to be like, you know, granted, I've played it and they haven't. So they kept being like, oh, I bet this is just going to be exactly the same as like a Cats and Dogs or Seasons, and it won't add anything meaningful to the gameplay. Having played it, it's radically different from those two packs, and it adds so much to the gameplay. I didn't even get to the maker stuff, which is like incredibly fun and a lot of what I spend my time doing. You can make your own furniture. You can make candles. You can make fizzy drinks now.
Nice.
That's all I want to do is just like make and sell, like have a Simmer. It's just like an Etsy seller, basically. And like, I think as soon as I get this pack, I'm going to try to do that.
That's incredible.
Right? You could just make a living just making stuff. And that sounds really fun. That's like my personal fantasy, right? Like, that's my fantasy that I want to live out in The Sims is like being a candle maker for Etsy. it became like a tizzy. And like, a part of it is also that this game that's in development that does not have a release date. I want to be clear. It's called Paralives and it's like a competing life.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of the site, Janine, about this game the other day because she said so here's my understanding. Paralives, it was kickstarted or like Patreon backed or something. It like raised a bunch of money through crowdfunding. Is that true? Am I misremembering?
I believe
this?
So. And
okay.
They've always been kind of courting the Sims fandom and they have people posted about in the Sims subreddit a lot. Simmers who are interested, you know, who are frustrated with Sims 4, usually point to Paralives when they talk, want to say like, well, these people are doing it right.
Right.
Blah, blah,
well,
blah, blah,
the
blah.
Big thing that I'd heard, the big thing that Janine told me was like, they only showed their first character the other day after years of not showing what the characters look like.
Yeah.
Which
they have
seems weird. The environments look great.
Like architectural tools that seem very fluid and interesting.
Right.
But you can also like, now that I've played a lot of games, like for work and talked to game developers for work, I looked at it, these demos of them like grabbing and moving walls and changing the height fluidly and all this shit. And all I thought was, if that code intersects with another code in a way that is not agreeable, you know that it's going to become like a non-Euclidean nightmare. You know, The Sims is such a complex game. It's one of those games where, like, you know, like an indie studio can try to make a Destiny, but it would take a long time, be very expensive, and they'd have to cut a lot of shit. And I think an indie team could try to make a Sims game, but it would take a long time, expensive. They'd have to cut a lot of shit. And like, I think it's good to see other developers trying to get into the life sim market, because Sims really has cornered it. Yes, I think it's good.
Even if Paralives ends up being like middling, I'm happy to see someone else in that space pushing on it to make it.
Yeah.
Because like more things in this vein just to me means more options and more variations, so that it doesn't always have to be that same style of, I would take a less complex version of The Sims that had corporations in it where I could get laid off. I would take a more complex version of The Sims, or a more janky version of The Sims that took place in a different environment, or that had, you know what I mean? Like, I would take sci-fi Sims, but from someone else. Like, I miss Sims Medieval, which is not a perfect game, but I would take it someone else doing that vibe. In fact, I think someone has. Now that I think about it at all, I just forget the name of it, and no one I knew played it, so I was kind of convinced. It's like, maybe it's not that good, because all the people I know who like this sort of thing would have told me that it's good.
It's just The Sims is really good at making sure the simmers only ever pay attention to The Sims. And I like fall into that trap very easily, because Sims has such a strong pedigree. And like the Maxis team, this is like the last remaining part of it. You know, if you have any respect for the Will Wright, you are just interested in what they're doing, because there's still people that worked on The Sims 2, which is like the last real Will Wright game.
Right.
On this team. And you like can't not have a little bit of respect. I like have such a deep respect for them for that specific reason. I think this specific pack is evidence of that sort of Will Wright, like genius, this like mechanics genius stuff that was always really impressed me. So around the time that this trailer came out, Paralives had their first character design trailer, and people immediately started saying, again, for the umpteenth time, Paralives is just a better version of The Sims. Oh, I can't wait for Paralives to kill The Sims. But then I watched this video from my favorite Sims YouTuber, Lil Simsy, Kayla Sims, is her actual name, Lil Simsy. And she had a trailer reaction, and I was watching it, and she pointed out something to me that I forgot about, but it's real, which just makes me feel fucking insane. It's just like, there was a lot, when we got the Laundry Day pack, it was actually the result of a community vote. And Laundry Day was voted for because it was in a theme of pack ideas called eco-living. And that pack idea, of all the other pack ideas, was the highest voted pack. And if you look back at the suggested features they were going to have, because they were only going to focus on one thing, it was going to be, there's three genres of packs, and this was going to be a stuff pack, which is the cheapest and has the least amount of mechanics and materials. They were only going to do one, because it's like a, you know, it's a community vote. You can't do that for a whole expansion. And laundry went out because a lot of people love laundry in The Sims, but they also had stuff like being able to craft things, or, you know, organizing, living off the land, that kind of stuff. Stuff that is actually in the eco lifestyle. Huh. So Simmer is like the people who are like, you literally voted for this. Like, you wanted, like, this is the thing that drives me insane about The Sims. It's like, they'll get what they want and they'll still find a way to complain about it.
That's right.
And
funny.
once you see a lot of this, is like once Simmers actually start playing the game and start playing the pack, they'll be satisfied with it and they'll love it. The only two times I've remembered that hasn't happened. And it was my first pet stuff, which was just kind of like a lackluster pet stuff pack. And, toddler stuff, where they had that ball pit that was a flat texture, and those two times I kind of got it. But like, you're gonna play this pack and love it, and you voted for it and you wanted this.
Communities and like you said, being a teen, when just like so much of being a teen is being miserable, you know.
In my
experience, that it's hard for me to throw shade on anyone who is miserable about shit.
I think the people who I thought were happy when they were teenagers were also miserable. Like, they also were having their little dramas. It's just like a painful time, and school is out, we're trapped inside, there's not a lot going on.
True.
You know, I get it, but also, listen, don't get your heart broken by a game that doesn't have a release date. And also, like, just wait for the pack to come out. I promise you, it's fascinating, and I love it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take a quick break and come back and talk about some more games. BRB.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
All right, we are back, and I have to tell you that there was a moment last night while playing some games where I was like, you know what? It's a really good time for a particular size and scale and style of independent game. I felt extremely lucky to have gotten to play a few things in a row that, like, made me... This time last year, I was like, what the fuck is going to be in my game of the year list?
Uh-huh.
This year, I'm like... I'm going to find space for these games on my game of the year list, which is, and I, who knows, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm going to finish each of these things and be like, maybe not. Last episode, Kato, you put me on to Boreal Tales.
Yeah.
And I put you on to Umurangi Generation. Where do you want to start here? I also have a third one that's kind of in the convo here, I think, but is different, is more distinct. Those are both distinct games to themselves. Like, I want to be clear. I don't think that this is like, and these things are the same.
There's an interesting through line about cameras, though. But
yes, there sure is. Yeah.
How did you find the beginning? How far into
Boreal
Tales?
I'm about an hour into Boreal Tales, if I can give like a more, I think appropriately, because it wasn't out yet, you were a little vague on like what the basic pitch of the game was because it wasn't out yet, right?
I was trying to speak more to aesthetics and like,
yeah, the idea totally, like- which you did great, which pulled me in for sure. The gist of this game is like, you are, okay, well, now I also see why you had to
right,
be a little
it's
bit.
Also,
no, okay,
it's
no.
also because right. something about you, the reveals are interesting, right? Like something about...
Yeah. But I think it's worth setting up, based on the fact that it seems pretty central. The gist of this game, the basic setup is, you're a character whose friend or ex or partner has gone missing in a modern city. Is it, wait, what is it?
Sister. It's your sister.
Oh, I have not gotten that confirmation.
Really?
I feel like that was early
on.
Maybe I just missed it then. I did not realize that those two characters were sisters. Yeah, yes. No. I'm only an hour in. Who's that? Bree and Sarah, right?
Yeah.
So you start the game as Bree, just kind of like, you know, upper age teen, mid-20s, somewhere in there. Somewhere between 18 and 25 is my guess. Who's kicking around an old... gas station, kind of an abandoned gas station, when this giant block of colored static appears.
Yeah.
And it appears in such a way that everyone is like, ah, oh, fuck. We haven't had one of these in a while.
Yeah, it's back. Ah, shit.
It's back. Shit. And what unfolds is an adventure where you are jumping between this character, Bree's perspective, Sarah, her sister apparently's perspective, as Sarah is inside of that cube ? That is like an alternate dark version of the town that you're in, which is this kind of industrial town plagued by accidents in the factory, by anti-union drives, mm-hmm. by just like strange occurrences. And also you end up seeing some stuff happening in that factory. And then there's some other perspectives that you take also as the story kind of jumps around. It doesn't jump around I don't know that it jumps around as it doesn't feel like vignettes to me. It feels like there's a thread that connects each of them, partially because the way that you kind of transmit the player's control is diegetic. You're like using a tape deck. You're using like a VHS cassette deck and an old mirror to move between spaces.
Did you not see the one that was before you go home?
The graves?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. But that's just you looking at the graves and then being transported into a different perspective.
Because there was definitely a second part with that same character where I switched characters in between without going back to the home.
Oh, I know. But there's always a medium. There's always a thing that drags the player's attention through in my experience. Hmm. It never felt random to me. It always felt very much like, yeah, I'm looking at graves and now I'm this ghost. Now I'm Fusilier the ghost who is tied to this grave in some way, presumably.
Maybe it's just past where you are or something, but there are definitely moments where your one character kind of action happens and then you reach what would be like the end of a...
Okay, that has not happened
to me yet. Like you reach what is like, okay, now we're going to the next screen that hasn't loaded. I hit the button to load.
And you switch
what actually
into...
loads is a different scene entirely.
Interesting. Okay. This game feels so in conversation with Kentucky Route Zero, with Night in the Woods. There is an emerging genre here of like shitty industrial town, you know, surrealism, that, and I say that as a compliment to this game, not to say it's biting, because I think the thing that makes it so distinct to me is that at the same time that it's clearly in conversation with those, it's also in conversation with those games are in conversation with. Those games didn't invent small industrial town with surreal shit happening and underlying labor concerns by any means. But it also has like such its own distinct voice that feels rooted in a different vibe on the supernatural. The thing that you'd mentioned a second ago, Kata, was the camera stuff, right? Do you want to explain how that works?
Well, I actually just, that was where I ended up stopping, and I think I have a bug because I'm not quite sure.
Oh, no.
Like, last time I tried it, basically, there's these symbols on the ground, and when you get to those symbols, you pull out your camera and you start looking for something specific, and I think it bugged out because I, like, lost UI, and then I couldn't exit the game, and I hadn't had time to jump back into it yet. So, actually, I'm not
explaining
this exact mechanic.
I had my UI. Okay, well, you definitely would have gotten it by now, unless you missed the... Did you drink the blood on the ground as soon as you saw it?
Yeah, did you?
No, I left it and went and found the camera.
What?
Yeah, you got the camera early.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That store is open. Like, the first time that you go to the other perspective.
No, see, I drank it immediately, and it changed the scene after that moment.
Yeah,
I
didn't, that is one of the connective tissues. I've gone through this cycle multiple times now where I go into that world to... So when you first go into... So I mentioned the big weird static cube.
Yeah.
If you go into that cube, you take the perspective of the main Bree's missing sister, Sarah, and the world is strange and staticky, and there is like, you know, there are birds, you know, sipping blood off the ground from some sort of weird dead animal or creature or something. It's all very surreal. It's not horror in like the... None of this is gruesome. The style is very like shades and colors and like very PS1 era, you know, fixed camera positions, stuff like that. It's creepy, but it's not... It has not been... There's one section that I think was like... made me a little spooked, but that's it.
Yeah.
But if you go to the left more, that store, the gas station or whatever it is, it's not the gas station, it's another different store, the video store is just open. And you can go in there immediately and get that camera. And so with that camera, anywhere that there's one of those sigils on the ground, you can stand and then go into like a first person mode and look around these 3D environments, which is fascinating because it's a fixed camera game. And so suddenly... dropping into the first person stuff is wild. At that point, you're looking for one of these other sigils in the world that's like another little red glowy symbol. And once you take a picture of it, you can then give it back to the person in the VHS store. No, sorry, you can. I think that's what you do. I think you give it back to him, and then he gives you a tape or something.
See,
he gives you something else, and I've done it. I've just now forgotten what it is because there are so many little layers of things like this.
So you grabbed the camera the first time you were in that cube?
Yeah, 100%. I had it because then I used it immediately back in the other gas station, in the regular world gas station.
I just got the camera. I did a bunch of other shit.
You did the first aid kit. You did the
in the grave, and then I went back.
Yes.
And did the first couple of tapes.
Yes. See, I've only done one of those tapes.
And then it wrapped back around and threw me back into. With Sarah, and then that's what I saw.
And that's when you got the right. No, yeah, you can get that early. But this is why I'm talking about it as like feeling like there are routes between these spaces. Because part of what the game is once you get that camera, it's going back to previous spaces to try to find these sigils there. So you can kind of figure out how these two worlds are connected and what the kind of, you know, there is very clear allegory happening here around the static and accidents at the factory and just a general sense of dread in town. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's a specific note I want to give, which is I have not felt so much like a soundscape has communicated to a place feeling like an inhabited place as in this game for a long time. Like sitting around your own like home with like your dad and listening to like someone start a car in the house at the house next door, or being at the gas station and hearing traffic pass.
Totally.
I'm sure it's like stock audio, but it's used really well to make what is actually a really empty environment feel really lively, which is cool.
It feels like it was whether it's stock or not. It was like recorded stuff, not like simulated stuff.
Yes,
which is
definitely
an interesting given the whole VHS aesthetic and recording and things like
totally. I guess to clarify a little bit more, like what this is, like it is a fixed camera adventure game. You know, one of the first things you do is you have to distract a cop. You have to find a way to distract a cop so you can approach this big static box. And so, you know, you have to go get one item and combine it with another item and then use it in a third place. And like that stuff is really, it's been fine so far.
Yes.
It is a really buggy game. I've definitely had to like save and load to get my character unstuck from geometry before. Mm-hmm. And I straight up had a moment where I lost my character on screen entirely, or they got stuck or something. And I couldn't even access the UI, like you said, with the camera thing. It wasn't a camera. It was just like walking around the woods. Then I had to load and I didn't have an autosave and I like lost some serious progress.
Yeah.
So I have to go back and catch back up. But it is like a really special thing. It's called Boreal Tales, Boreal. It's on itch and on Steam for like $3. So that's the thing, is like, given that it's $3, I have a hard time being mad about bugs. Just save often, early and often.
It's like bugs in the like, something went wrong here, not the like, this is impacting normal gameplay like constantly. It's like, oh, a glitch, I'll have to reload, like,
yes,
that sort of situation.
Exactly. I think like our audience specifically, that will have a big group of people who find this game fascinating.
Totally.
So definitely worth your time. Do you have any other Boreal Tales thoughts?
No, I have to get it's wild to me how different our paths have been.
Which is, I suspect we're both just in the early the early going of it based on footage I've seen from the rest of the game. Do you know what I mean? Like, my guess is like once we both get enough discs or whatever, there will be another like turn, but we'll see. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll just be bouncing from disc to disc and eventually you'll have seen enough. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or tape to tape or whatever.
So
the other thing that we talked about briefly on Monday and is now available also is Umurangi Generation, which is so much different than what I thought it would be, but also also really hits, really fucking hits. I love it a lot. I don't
Having
think
some
I
problems with it.
Oh no, what's up? Okay, let me give the pitch and then we'll talk about the problems. Okay. Totally. So it is a first-person photography game in which you go through a series of levels and you have a set of objectives. Those objectives are things like take a photo. They're like photo bounties, basically. Take a photo of two stereos. Take a photo of the Union Jack flag somewhere. Take a photo through your telescopic lens of a bird and a cat at the same time. Stuff like that. Or find a word in the environment. And so to some degree, it's like a little bit of a pixel hunt in the sense that you're exploring in first person these environments, some of which are pretty large in terms of like it's not a room that you're looking around. It's like it's like a bunch of rooms or a bunch of empty or not empty. But it's a bunch of streets that are poorly lit or whatever. Right. Or really brightly lit. And then you take the photo and then, you know, things like the composition and you're graded, so to speak. You're paid based on things like how colorful the photo is or how moody it is. There's like, what is it, the three C's? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
From the tutorial? Is it content, color, and a third one, composition, right?
Yeah.
That stuff is mostly hand wavy for me. Like I am just taking pictures that I want to take. So it's not really like there is a side goal every round that is like make X dollars, but it's easy to do that just by taking enough pictures, basically. But that is like on paper what you're doing. The thing about the game is that it is set in a sort of like post-apocalyptic slash cyberpunk world in which you're learning about why the world is the way it is, why there are big walled cities, why there's such an interest among people in virtual reality, why there are UN guards everywhere and sometimes the sound of gunshots or sirens in the distance. What's up with these creatures you keep finding? Small things like that, all through just the visual storytelling, all through just the environmental storytelling of signage, of levels being in different locations and showing off different things. This is not a game with dialogue. This is not a game with like, you know, audio logs. It's all 100% communicated through like what are the movie posters about? What type of movies are being made in this world? What's the graffiti say? And most of the graffiti is a little bit better than traditional games graffiti where it's like, tell my mom I love her written in blood or whatever, you know? So what are the problems that you're having?
So, and I think a lot of this stems from having had such a good time with Tales from Off-Peak City's camera moments that I have partially issue with the way that this is gamified specifically. Like, I feel like the way that the objectives are set up and the way that there's like a timer, which doesn't ultimately matter.
It. Yeah.
I do
two runs. I do a run where I find everything.
Yeah.
And do it on my own schedule. And then I do like a speed run after for the 10 minutes, because there's no way you could do this on your first jump. I'm with you. I think that they just shouldn't put the timer there.
Yeah. That's the thing is like, it still causes this friction of it being on your screen all the time. And like,
yes,
it being like,
at the very least, it should just be in the menu. Yeah.
Or something else.
It took me a
separate time trial thing
mode
that you could go back to or something. And the second part of this is the way that the objectives are set up. Oftentimes you're doing some like very minor platforming or like moving around. I have so much issue with how slowly you move in this game and the way the jump doesn't feel quite right.
Where like, it took me a while to get the jump. I've gotten the jump now that I understand that it is like the warlock jump in Destiny.
It is very,
is the warlock jump the one that it's a boost? It's like a big,
no.
The earlier, what's the one that the earlier you do it, you jump higher?
It's like a double jump, but it always feels like you need to use the double jump where normally it feels like you could jump up there. I don't know.
You're always double jumping.
Like the move, it's like for how much platforming is in this game, it feels like the platforming mechanics aren't quite there for that bit of it, which to me only distracts from the really interesting and the other great stuff that they do with the actual photography, like the main part of the game.
I haven't run into that quite yet because I think because I right now, the moment that I said to myself, I'm not going to get the 10-minute timer on any of these. I'm going to go back and get them. I was able to like just take a breath and then do those jumps pretty accurately or pretty like, and if I messed up, whatever, I would then like look around and be like, okay, where am I now? What is a picture I could take here that's interesting? Yeah. And then let me wrap back around and do that jump again. There are definitely moments. The thing that ended up being more frustrating for me in terms of the bonus objectives were just finding those film canisters. There are also collectibles in each of these between like 6 and 9 hidden film canisters. And those are cool because they're hidden in places that like tend to be cool places to take photos from, or that like to find them you have to really understand that there's like, oh wow, this plank leads up to this, you know, cargo container that actually then lets you jump over onto this roof, and then on that roof you get this really great shot of the plaza below and there's a film canister up there or something. So I don't mind that there are these collectibles in these levels, but I definitely, those are the things that I'm like, I have 5 of the 6, I cannot find the 6th one, where the fuck is the 6th one? And I've gone for 30 minutes, you know. That's the other half of, if you ignore the timer, I put 40 minutes into that first or the second level, and didn't find that 6th canister, the 6th film canister. And that's the point where I was like, I'm just going to, not only am I going to ignore the timer, I'm going to just play the game. I'm going to play the game. I'm going to try to get the bonus objectives done. When I complete my photo bounties, if I have 1 or 2 film canisters left and I don't have a clue where they are, I'm going to move on, because the world that it's, that this takes place in is so interesting that I want to see whatever this next cut of it is.
That's, you know, definitely
this
next part of it. Two is that I feel like at a certain point I'm like, okay, where's this last thing? And then I have to do a round, and then I'm like, I'm getting frustrated with how slow I walk. Like, there's no sprint. Like, it just like feels like it could be a little bit faster.
See, I am the person who is very happy there is no sprint, because
I wish there.
I get it, but like, that's not my vibe when I'm playing this game. Like, I was happy that Boreal Tales had a sprint, because my perspective didn't matter in it as much. Sure. It's a fixed camera game. I want to move across these screens as quickly as possible and get to the screen that's important. But in this, I'm like, I'm playing this game to bask in it a little bit and to like, I get it. I do get it. I wouldn't be like mad if they I'm added done, a sprint.
Yeah. It's like, once I'm done basking after, like, I'm like, I've already been here for 40 minutes. I'm just trying to find this thing.
But I keep finding new
thing.
Shit. I always find new shit when I'm walking down these alleys. And like, some of it is, I moved too quick through this space, didn't see the graffiti I needed to take a photo of.
Right.
And I would miss more. But I think one of the things that the game could definitely would benefit from is just, or I'm curious maybe if this is maybe more of the kind of overall thing that you're suggesting, is that just like, give me a mode where I don't have to deal with any of this shit and just let me fuck around.
Right. It's like, how much do you need to gamify an experience in that specific way of having objectives, of having, like, I could see
you
that.
You feel like there was like a pass where they were like, shit, we need there to be.
There needs
be
more game in this game, which this is like, game. Right? Yeah. This idea that just giving the space and letting people move on when they want is not enough.
Right.
Like, I would have loved this where those top ones that you need to continue the like top objectives, there's like 2 sections, right? The top of the list is like the things you have to do to move on to the next level, and the bottom are like optional. I wish the top had got shifted down. Like, I wish it was all optional. I would do them anyways. I would want to do them. But the issue being that it's less of this, like, you're doing these objectives and there's this timer on you, that friction goes away. Like, for some reason, I cannot, even when I'm ignoring it, even when I'm like, whatever, I'm not going to hit 10.
Yeah,
it's still being there makes me feel at a certain point like, okay, I need to move on. Like the reminder of time passing makes me feel like I need to move on. So it was just like this thing.
Wait,
of like,
so in that world, is it like, keep the timer, but lose the, you would still feel it. I would still feel it. I would,
yeah, no,
if there was,
I would
if
say,
there was a timer,
I would say get rid of the timer, like make a time trial mode if you want, or
no, like, I the thing, I really think the timer brings nothing, because yeah. once you know where the things are, once you know what the shots are and what the where the film canisters are, there is no time.
Right.
Like, you'll get it done in 5 minutes for the right. most for the, in the in the for the most part. There's a couple of like well, I think
some
third
depends
level,
on how good you are at that jump.
Yeah, but once you learn that jump, you learn that jump, and you just do that jump first. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. oh, I didn't get it. Let me restart. You yeah. know. But once you do know where everything is, like, it's a most of these levels are very fast to do that. But yeah, I guess if you really, really want the time trial mode, it should be its own mode. And then beyond that, like, I think it's super important to have difficult traversal in this game, because part of what I think it's trying to communicate, there's two things I think it's trying to communicate. One is it wants you to feel embodied and slow in this constrained, occupied space. Mm-hmm. These are spaces that are literally occupied by the military, right? And like, you're not running around in front of these people with fucking guns, right? You are walking because as much as the game also kind of paints those people as being kind of stuck and in it with you in an interesting way, there are a lot of them have like sarcastic mottos about their jobs on their helmets and shit. Uh-huh. They are still also clearly an occupying force. We should note that this is game.
This is the interesting part about this game is that, and the reason why I want to keep moving in a sense is to see the new things.
How far
things.
In are you? How I'm far like, in are you?
I'm on the
Have you hit
seventh?
The thing?
Oh, okay, yeah, so I hit the
hit,
thing.
Like, the fucking
yeah, yeah, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And like, that was, it was like, my experience with photography and wanting to see it through push me through those early ones, because one thing that always annoys me about any sort of photo game where you have editing powers is that for some reason contrast always seems to be locked behind a couple upgrades. I'm like, this is basic. This should
this
be
is the big
here
thing.
From the, this
yeah.
is the big
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm,
you don't get contrast until like the sixth level or something.
Yeah, I'm
right?
just like, oh, which whatever. Yeah. It's not that big of a deal. It's probably only just like certain people who have like taken film
who
photography
do,
and
right,
like, have
right.
done this before, like, would feel this exact same feeling.
I mean,
but it's
exposure
something
is even unlocked in this game, right? Like, it's
right.
exposure isn't even. I almost wish you just straight up got different. You get most of that stuff via like new lenses, right? And the lenses are really cool looking, and like switching between them feels really good. Putting the flash on feels
feel
good,
like,
though it does do the thing where like if you tap F twice to put the flash on by mistake, it will put it on and then take
see,
it off.
I haven't gotten the flash yet. Where is that?
Oh, that must be a bonus objective upgrade.
Really?
100%. So wait, that means you go, oh, that means you haven't seen any. Okay, wait, let me show you some photos that I took then.
Hold on.
Because I am in love specifically with that, like, you know, the aesthetic, the like the flash on at night in urban setting.
Yeah.
Things
yeah,
are like overexposed
totally.
in the near frame.
When I got to some of those darker areas
Dude.
That they hadn't given me the flash yet. I knew the
Hold
button
on,
was
me,
there for the flash. Like,
let
where
me drop
is it?
You some shit that I love that I took. here's this, which
and
is like.
Speaking to the like.
The way the shadow falls behind that railing is so
that's
fucking good.
Very good. I took that exact same photo almost, but without flash because I don't have it.
But without flash because you don't have
and
the
I
flash.
And I just like fucked with the exposure group, and stuff.
This third thing Fuck. Here of like the super exposed close person and then like the way that falls off but has the neon lit in the back. Like I just want to collect all of my favorite photos and post them. Like that is how much I'm enjoying
which
some
also,
of this stuff.
Another thing I fucked up.
Oh, buddy.
I did. I completely misunderstood the tick box where it says save to gallery, which apparently is on by default, but it's like a little white square with a circle in it.
Yeah.
And to me, that felt empty, and like clicking it and filling in the
filled
square
it in, I
was
see.
Me turning it on. It's like,
right.
I don't know how many other people will have that problem, but just so you know, that circle, when the circle is there,
when the
that
circle
means
is there,
is saving.
Yeah. That
and I thought it was opposite. And then I exit the game and
buddy.
It's like, show me the folder with all the images in. And I was like, why are there two things in here when I spent like an hour in this space?
Yeah.
Which is,
that sucks.
You know,
I gotta say, I have not said a single word just while you guys have been talking about it. And I've just been listening. But looking up these pictures, Austin, I have bought so many freaking games because of this podcast, and I have this already downloaded and installed, and I'm gonna start playing it as soon as we get off
it's
the pod.
Fucking so like the photos in this game that I've taken are like I'm like proud of them in a way that doesn't make any sense because well the real thing this game did was make me pissed that there is not that this is not a genre that is popular
right
because I want one of these every year.
Yeah.
Like, I want a game in which I'm going through environments and, like, and just, like, composing interesting shots every year.
The other thing
forever.
That...
But I guess it is what I should do is... That's not popular, though. Like, I talk to, like, people, you know, the category of people who, like, don't really play games, but definitely play games, you know? They always say to me, hey, do you know if there's going to be a new Pokemon Snap?
Pokemon Snap. I know. I get it. But like, the answer is
there
isn't.
A market.
The answer is that I don't know that there is. I don't know that market has. My thought is if there was going to be a new Pokemon Snap, there would be a new Pokemon Snap. My guess is that when a big company looks at a game like this, they go, there's not enough replay value for people to spend $50 on it. But I don't want the $50 version of it with Pokemon. I want this. I'm happy I have it, but like, I would have spent $12 on one of these every few months for the rest of my life. Alternatively, I should just get a really nice camera and learn how to shoot photography because clearly composition is a thing I enjoy.
Yeah.
But like,
like, you can even, I think it just speaks to, like, also, there's something incredibly satisfying. I know, like, everyone complains about Instagram and the way that people behave on Instagram and, like, the Instagramification of beauty is, like, a really intense problem. Mm-hmm. However, Instagram allows amateur photographers to become actual photographers for, like, 1 second. And there's something really satisfying about that.
Well, yeah, you know? I guess this is the actual other thing that I hadn't thought about here is, like, I don't use Instagram. I used Instagram when it first came out. Mm-hmm. And it was like, but you know, before it was the thing it is now. And then I realized, like, I don't take pictures. Like, I'm not a photo person. This is the thing, like, truly about me is, like, I don't have college photos. There aren't very many photos of me, despite being someone who's very much in the public eye. I don't, like, hang out with my friends and take pictures together. And that's not a judgment on that. I don't have, like, a collection of family photos. I don't, when the family photo books come out, they don't interest me. I'm not that person. And yet the experience of composing a shot that is really only for me, that is really, like, I said, like, oh, I'd like to put them somewhere, but I'm probably not going to. Or maybe I'll put, like, three, or, you know, maybe I'll do a post of, here are my four favorite shots that I took in Umuragi on Twitter, but that is probably going to be it. Like, there is something about the experience of just shooting photos for me that this brings out that I didn't expect. And I suspect that's because it does make things like fucking around with exposure and tint and saturation and contrast, like, very simple and... Mm-hmm. Not, I'm sure as a real photographer would look at this and be like, this is not good. This is not how this works.
It's fine. It's fine. The point is that you have creative control in this.
Yeah,
in
that's
this
what I mean. Endeavor, right? I meant Kato. But what do you think, Kato? Sorry.
Well, no, that was it. But really, one of the things as a photographer that gets me is the fact that you can't fucking reload. You can't recock the camera without, like, leaving the viewpoint, which is
the viewpoint.
This is like, because I've had this specific embodied
experience.
It's like
the first sniper rifle you get in a video game.
Yeah,
is the one where you have to pull the lens away from your face.
And I get that that's probably possible. Possibly
very
part
bonkers.
Of it, given the whole, like, occupying force situation. But it's still just like this, because I know that I can cock that shutter way faster than the main character. Yes. And while it's still at my face, it's probably a friction that very few people are going to feel.
No, I feel
still
it.
Camera, like, your eye is glued to that viewfinder and it doesn't move.
When I'm like, I want to shoot three of these in a row, or, like, I want to change my perspective just a little bit because that shot didn't come out the way I wanted it to.
Right.
I'm with you that I'm like, why can't I just, yeah, exactly. 100%,
like, leave the just have it be like, okay, I'm moving over. Like, there are certain things
where,
like,
yes.
And I do enjoy this part of, like, having the characters move, is that, a lot of times in those situations when you're taking, like, action shots or, like, the people that, like, there's, like, a lot of people dancing and things, or if you want, like, just the right, like, composition on a person's face, taking, like, those shots in quick succession is something that I would love to be able to do. You have to, like, it takes the camera off your face, your character does a little cocking the shutter and moving the film over one. I am happy that they're representing film in a world where digital is, like, what everyone who's learning film now and again, but there is this kind of quality of I guess there's a feel that the idea of film still gives versus the idea of digital, and there would be no reason to have even the pause of like a shutter cock, even if it's
right,
a
you would
faster.
Just snap.
And, like, you could hold down that button and hit like 50 frames or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is a very different moment. So I'm glad that for this difference at least, but I wish it was just like the 1 second. I wish everything in here was just a tiniest bit faster, because probably because I'm impatient. But it's just like,
the other half of it, the thing that I didn't lay out in terms of why I'm okay with there being challenge in the jumping puzzles and stuff. Like I talked about, like, it's a, I'm fine
Here's
with
the thing,
being
though,
slow. Is that, like,
just,
I do...
it's not just challenge. It feels bad.
See, I don't think it feels bad.
I think
like
it
this
feels
jump.
Really
I
bad.
Like this. If you go, like, space, you fucking launch. It feels sick. It feels just like the start
Maybe
of a warlock
I'm not
jump
doing
to me.
It right.
It's
because,
just like, space.
To me, it's just like
you, what you
a
can't
bad
do
double
is,
jump.
Is like once you're descending, you don't get any upward momentum. So you have to do it. And if you do it right away, you actually get the most height out of it. It's like you're launching yourself. I know this because I've opened the game and I'm launching myself. the other half of this is like, I do think that the thing that they're trying to do is like, hey, you have to climb into weird places to get the shot, right? You have to like,
there is,
this is their verb of you are an embodied actor.
But like, right. But like to me, the thing is the fucking helmets in Titanfall. You would see those and be like, how the fuck do I get up there?
Oh, well, I mean, what feels as good as Titanfall? Nothing.
Like, nothing. Nothing. No, I'm not even saying like movement wise. I'm just saying like getting up there as one of these like things where like the objectives are getting you up there. It's like you can make the film thing, the film reels visible and in a weird place.
Yeah, they have not.
So
I'm going to end up looking up a guide for some of these levels because I cannot imagine. Specifically the second level, the like gray, washed out, overcast sky military base level.
Yeah.
That level is big, but it's not that big. And I feel like I've been everywhere and I have no fucking clue where the last film canister is. And or there could be a sound. There could be a, you know what I mean? Like that's a thing that happens in games sometimes, right? They'll be like, hey, when you're near the thing, we'll make a sound so that you can da 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 da.
So the other part of this game, the part that I am enjoying,
yes,
and the reason I want to be able to move just a little bit quicker is this the way that this is setting up this narrative, this like wild narrative that I don't know where it's going, but I like can't stop thinking about what the implications here are. Like, is this set? This is set in like a weird future. Obviously, there's like fantastical things happening, but there feels such a like this like I don't know. There's a ring of truth of it that makes it feel like it's based on a specific event almost.
Yeah, I have the same feeling. Like, so I know that it's made by Maori developers, it makes me not just that, but like specifically the relationship between the like occupying / protective force, the gesture at a particular crisis that is ecological in nature, but also is about like, is there a world where can we just do a 5 minute? We've talked about this game a lot.
Right.
Let's just say right now, for the next 5 minutes, we're going to talk about like a little bit of spoiler
Spoilers.
Stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear. It's clear within the first three levels. You do the third level and you go like, oh shit. Okay. Yeah. And as Kato's in like the seventh level, there's a lot. There's enough here that like, I think the bulk of the game has you knowing what this is. So jump ahead 5 minutes or something. Kato will put timestamps in the.
Yeah.
So that'll let you jump ahead to the next topic. This is a kaiju game. This is a game in which a giant monster seems to have attacked New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
You are playing in the generation of people who are living through that. There's graffiti about, you know, about the attack, about people lost in the attack. A lot of the culture reflects that because it's a lot of like, it's a lot of movie posters about movies, about people fighting monsters or the opposite. People, you know, there's stuff about like how we're the monster or, you know, stuff like that.
Do you
not
know,
not as cheesy as what I just said, though.
Do you know why you're not supposed to photograph the Man of War yet?
I haven't done it yet.
I've done it. I don't understand what happens.
I don't think, I think it's bad for something. I think it's probably not good. I that it's, don't do it. I don't know like why. It. I'm not going like to. So really, one of the things it tells you in the tutorial is like, oh, here's how you take photos. Da-da-da-da-da. Like, all right, you're good to go. Well, quick thing. Don't take any photos of these neon blue Man of War that just show up sometimes in the levels that are just like on the ground.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Don't do it.
It gives the whole thing a real like Fooly Cooly vibe. It gives the whole thing this vibe of like, there is another layer happening over mundane life that you should do your best not to interact with.
Right. So part of me feels like this is about, I don't want to, I think all the vignettes are the same, regardless of whether or not you actually photograph one of the.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah.
But there's this idea, obviously, like pretty basic idea of making something real by recording it, making something material by having a record of, by photographing it. And it's like the parts that you're not supposed to pay attention to are these small, like seemingly, what's it called? Man of War are dangerous if they're in the water, but when they're out, like you can easily avoid them. They're not that threatening when they're not like secretly, you know, super long and you can't see their tentacles and they can like really fucking fuck you up. And then you, is the kaiju just a giant Man of War or is it something else? Because
that's
it
what
feels,
it looked like to me, but
right.
But I don't know. But who could say?
Yeah, it's very difficult to tell. And I guess the flash probably doesn't even reach out that far. But it has this whole feeling of like, when there's a lot of thought out there about war photography, about photographing moments of violence and moments of people's you know, suffering, that I think specifically the third map or whatever zone in this game kind of jumps into, where you're fighting the kaiju is attacking, right? There are, and there are suddenly hurt people. And one of the objectives in the game is always get a group shot of your friends. Like there's these four characters or three characters. Wait, does the penguin
count? The penguin counts. The penguin, it's four. Pen counts.
Four characters. Oh, shit. You know, I thought the robots looked a little... Okay, anyways. And the only way to... What they're doing in that scene is helping UN soldiers who have been maimed. Like, there's blood everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
It has this... In a way where I feel like, for some reason, other games that have... I don't know. I guess it's different because other games where there's like scenes of war, like you're a different type of actor in that scene. Even if there's a photo mode in that game,
right?
It never strikes on this tension that exists when you photograph scenes of extreme violence and suffering,
right?
And I think part of what this game is trying or like hopes to do is one of the big like theories that Susan Sontag puts on in regarding the pain of others, which is about photography and in like war zones, is this idea that even if you need to be aware of, obviously, the photographer's biases and framing and all of that sort of outward situation, but still it is important to understand that this is one of the only ways in modern society to get the word out, in essence, is the movement of these images. And this game feels like they're trying to get the word out about a specific place. And I only wish...
There's kind of two thoughts there. One is, do you think that it's purely allegorical, or are you saying that that is the feeling it captures?
Both, actually. Okay. I think it captures that feeling, and it also captures, I feel like it is... The game itself is trying to talk to a specific thing that I certainly am not aware of what the UN intentions with this population is, and will now probably go read about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well, there
it
is.
Both captures it, right, obviously. Like, I assume, like...
I was actually going to put... there is a really great interview with the developer of this game that I'll link you to.
Great.
Called The Umurangi Generation is Asking You to Care. It's from Vista Magazine. That the developer gets into specifically talking about their indigeneity in relation to ecologic disaster. The quote that jumped out at me here was, one of the elders over here in Australia said to me, "We're often listened to but not heard. When I think a lot about the societal issues like these bushfires, one of the reasons it was so bad is because the government didn't want to do burn-offs. A lot of indigenous communities have been saying, hey, our families have been here forever and we know what the right time it is to do a burn-off, so listen to us. And people would see that as just nonsense. You know, these fellows don't know what they're talking about." And that's the energy I'm trying to capture in Umurangi, the idea that the game's main crisis event probably could have been avoided if people cared in the short term. I'm designing the game around people who actually do need to hear that message, not necessarily people who already know. I'm not trying to overload people with my philosophies. I just want to ease people into these ideas, into my culture. Totally. It's a really, really, really good interview. Right. So it's probably worth digging that out. Whether or not you play the game, it's a good read.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what I like the most about this being a photography game specifically, is that idea of the kind of transferring something to a further, a further reach in that specific way, has a lot of history behind it. And especially in being an outsider, right? In being someone from, not from that culture.
Right.
The idea.
And then using photography as the thing that allows you to communicate in a language, not literally in a language, obviously. And I don't even mean figuratively. I don't even mean just layer one figurative. Oh, everyone can look at photos, but it is literally the sort of I can use a method that has been validated as being almost more authoritative than my own voice and perspective.
Right.
The second I step in behind a camera, I erase the photographer. I erase myself. And even though my biases are in the photo, I can actually use the photo as a medium for communication that the second I would say any of these things would be, elided or ignored, right?
Totally.
From the conversation. That you're totally right. That is the vibe as you take photos here. And I think it's partially, you can almost see it based on what the bounties are, right?
Right.
In an interesting way, because they're a mix of things that are hashtag aesthetic, which are very clearly, they're all hashtag aesthetic. Even the ones that are yo, go get me a photo of the word cops. Get me a close up of the word cops. Okay. Yeah, but that doesn't really communicate anything. So the literal example of this is my close up of the word cops is just the word cops, but I then took the next photo, which is the entire phrase, which is cops come here to kill us. And the fact that the bounty is not for cops come here to kill us, the bounty is someone will pay you just to get a cool shot of the word cops.
Uh-huh.
And to do that, you literally have to zoom in enough to not take the photo cops come here to kill us is really good. There is a lot happening there about what the market is interested in.
Yes. And that's so important too, because you get paid for every single one of these photos, which
yes.
fucking what
if
kind
only
of fantasy?
People need to see see photos. It's
I'm making like $200 in like 40 minutes right now. Like what?
Oh, inflation, though. That's cents. That's nothing. Oh, right, doesn't mean anything. That's what you have to understand is that you made a quarter on that photo.
Shit.
I think it's really something special. I definitely do understand a lot of your mechanical complaints around stuff. I think it's worth.
It's one of those things where
I don't want to scare people off.
But
it's
like
so worth your time.
In my sense, I'm like trying to maybe prepare people. It's like it's not going to feel great, but it's worth keeping with
it. That makes
you
sense.
Know.
That makes sense. Yeah,
like,
it has
these
my
are the things
I
would
favorite.
Change, but like. Also, maybe a small shout out to people thinking about the way they gamify their games of like where the importance in certain things might have helped ease this.
I still think that having those, see, the thing that I just said about the cops has now brought me back around to saying these are intentional, important, that there are bounties for bullshit that you have to do. I think that that's an important mechanism that you can play on or that you can like take advantage of. And that has now pushed me back on the side of, I'm glad that the default mode require. I think getting rid of the timer would help so much for me. I think that's the big thing.
Yeah, for sure.
The it does have my single favorite objective maybe in any video game, which is take a photo with with the word gamers showing up seven times.
Yeah.
Incredible. You can do it.
Love to game.
You can do it. I love to game. I'm going to send one more photo over. I love this one because of how the focus mechanic just erased this dude's face. And like,
oh, I love that.
It's
love
so it. Fucking good. I love it so much. Anyway, what were you going to say? You're going to go play this game right away. I know you wanted to play it last night and it just didn't come together. I was so bummed because I think you'll love it.
On Monday, you'll hear all about it, I'm sure.
Good.
I keep seeing a lot of reference, and I know this is partially part of the narrative, but I also wonder, a lot of reference to VR in a way where like,
yes,
I can imagine this is a VR game.
My VR read on that is just no one wants to live in this fucking world anymore.
Right.
Like there's the literal ad and this one thing that's like internet tough guy simulator.
That's the other thing that is fucking great is like
it's
the
so
posters and
it rules. It's so good. There's so many good posters. Exactly. Epic Gaming Bar was one of the things in that level.
Love
and
it.
Underneath the sign for it, it said, "I played first person shooters in the 90s and won't shut the hell up about it." Extremely
amazing.
Good. Extremely good. There's good animals in this game. There's a big eagle in most levels. The fashion is on point. The music is incredible.
Yes.
All of the music is by a musician named Thor High Heels, I believe, who gets interviewed in this.
There's some guest spots because Mello has a track in here somewhere.
Mello's is in. It's definitely in the trailer. I don't know if it's in the game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That Jet Set. Okay. Oh, that's the other thing I should just say here because I said it on Twitter. Is the other touchstone for this is it's Jet Set Radio aesthetics through a even more lived in space. I know Jet Set Radio Future had some stuff that was like. Very like people hanging out in the background type stuff. But this is like very much walk around a world in which the Jet Set Radio folks had to suffer through economic and ecological disaster and occupation, further occupation. And where they're allowed to just straight up graffiti shit on the wall, like the cops come here to kill us instead of just being vaguely anti-cop. Those games are anti-cop, just to be clear. Also, because I know people are wondering, Umurangi means, was it red sky? Red sun? Red sky. Red sky generation is what Umurangi generation means, which is I think, part of why speaks to the ecological crisis stuff in this game.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's Umurangi generation. Definitely go check it out. It's definitely worth your time. I really enjoy it. I have to bounce like now, but I wanted to do a quick shout out to a couple of other things because I've been meaning to. One is If Found, which Annapurna just put out. It is really fascinating. It is a visual novel in which your primary mode of interaction is erasing. It's like there's text and images on screen and you're cursor is an eraser, and you kind of erase to either clear off part of the page and then move to a different part of the page, or to reveal something behind what's been erased. I think it's being sold as a coming out tale, and I think that that's fair. I think it's more than a coming out tale, or it's also beyond being feels evaluative also, or like I'm trying to make a ranking here. In addition to being a story about a character coming out, it is a story about a character who is not fucking sure where they're at, and is not like, I think like some of the core moments are about confronting people who don't want your character or the prospective character, the protagonist, to be who she really is. But I also feel like it does an incredible job of normalizing, or trying to normalize, the sense of like, I don't know what the fuck is going on with me right now. Like, gender as ongoing problem, not as thing that's already solved and the only problem is the people around me. Like, obviously the people around you that can be a fucking problem. And this game, you know, if found, is very much about, you know, a trans woman dealing with the fact that people in her life are not necessarily like ready to love her in the way that they should love her. And in that way, I will say, like, there are moments that are like, wow, this is like extremely intense for a game that 12 minutes ago was incredibly chill. But I think the thing that does the best is this just sense of, you know, it's a game set in Ireland in 1993. You're playing a character who's just come home from school, from university, who has changed a lot while in university, and who's gone back to her small hometown. And has to deal with people there and find people there that you know fit with her, and it's a really, really good story. I think it's visually really sharp. It's definitely worth your time. It's called If Found. Annapurna continues to publish some really good small games again and again. The other stuff that I want to quickly shout out, one, I meant to mention this on Monday, Jet Lancer, that Kato and I talked about a month ago, is out now. People should go play Jet Lancer. It's also fucking sick.
Nice. Yeah.
And then two other little ones. Pirates Outlaw, or Pirate Outlaws. Pirates Outlaws. That's a name.
That's the plural, right?
That's the plural Pirates for both Outlaw. Of them. Yeah. Is a Slay the Spire type card game, not CCG, deck building game. That is, I think it's pretty straightforward compared to something like Slay the Spire. I haven't found like the kind of diversity of builds quite yet. But it's just like it has a couple of really interesting mechanics around, resources, the way that it has, like, there are cards you can play for free and there are cards that cost ammo, and ammo does not just come back all at once every turn. It comes back, I think, one at a time every turn. And then you also have ammo cards, which are like mana cards. And then it lasts. If you don't spend it, you have it for the next round. So there's some interesting things there. And that's called Pirates Outlaws. And I've been meaning to talk about that for weeks. So I just wanted to say this instead of, like, I'm not going to find 15 minutes for it in an upcoming episode. We're getting too busy. One thing I would love to wrap back around, because I know, Gita, you were looking at it a little bit, is Wintermoor Tactics Club, which is a visual novel and a tactics game set in the 80s. In which you're playing like a D&D club at a high school that then has to do snowball fight tactics fights against the other school clubs because you're in a tournament to see which club is going to keep its funding. Truly nightmarish situation.
This is just Gita Jackson food, basically.
Yeah, basically. So if you get a chance to play that, maybe we can come back and talk about that next week. But I did want to note it because I think it's kind of cool. I have small issues with it around like the tactics stuff, but it's very clearly supposed to be a great entry point to tactics games. And I love the like tabletop RPG like layer on top of it. There's a, you know, you do stuff with your club in a way that's like kind of fun to do. And like it has lots of stuff that's just like, hey, you can reset the round whenever you want. If you fucked up and made the wrong decision, just reset it. It has like a pyre vibe a little bit, where like you get to meet the other clubs, the other like, it doesn't have the, I'm sure it doesn't have the branching stuff that Pyre had, because that's like so much. But the, it does have the like, ooh, here's like the club of young detectives who are all occultists, and you meet them, and what's their deal? Oh, here are the shitty young monarchists who are just literal reactionaries who think the world should be run by nobles, and that there should be no freedom. And they're fascinating because they're also just shitty teens. So it's definitely worth checking out if you're looking for a tactics thing. Wintermore Tactics Club. With that, I do have to run, so I'm going to wrap up. Does anyone have any other final thoughts or shouts before we close the door on this one?
Just noting a very interesting trend in like camera use in recent indie games that I have.
Cameras are in.
Yeah.
I did want to get to Tales from Off Peak City, and just did not because of all the other shit.
Also the flower collectors, just like
right, totally. Yeah. Totally. Did you finish that? Did you play all that?
I need to go back. I have to get through all these indie games now. I just got them all lined up.
That's one of those indie games. That is another different indie game, which is it's happening. It's all happening right now. People are taking photos in indie games. You should do it too.
Yeah, it's fun. It's good.
That's my recommendation. All right. With that, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you, as always, to Bowen Flooding and Susa Track Miss You off the EP Pale Machine. Find out more about that at waypoint.zone/BOEN. What's up?
That's just the hesitation. It's been so long.
I forgot the name of the... Yeah, I know. I'm distracted today. I have so much to do. I gotta run. Thank you to... I already did the thank you. We're good. Find me on Twitter at @Austin_Walker. Find Kato at...
@Kato_appears.
And Gita.
You can find me at @XOXOGossipGita.
I follow everything we do, twitter.com/waypoint, waypoint.vice.com. We'll be back next week with more about video games. I'm probably going to miss an episode next week, either the Monday or the Thursday one, because of my schedule. So just know that I'm okay. I'm not sick. I'm not, everything's fine. I'm just working. So I'm sure these folks will hold down the fort. Why do you hold down the fort? Someone recently messaged me to say, Austin, it's hold the fort. You don't hold down the fort. I think actually they replied to Patrick on Twitter saying that. This is a British versus US thing. In the US, we hold down the fort. We had to add a preposition in so that we knew which direction to hold the fort. You don't want to hold up the fort. We want to hold down the fort. All right.
What's the difference between holding down the fort and holding it down? Is that a meaningful one?
I think that's the same.
Stems from the other thing, right? Like,
yeah,
I think hold down is the shorten of
yeah, holding down the fort. It has to be.
Because it has such a similar meaning that I feel like they have to be related, right?
Yeah, if you hold me down, if you're holding it down, I feel like that's holding down the fort.
Right.
I think so.
Okay. I trust you.
Don't. We'll be back on next week to talk more about video games. Until then, you already know what it is. Fuck capitalism. Go home. Peace.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
I just want to get through this month. I just need to get through the month.
You're going to do it.
Everything done. It's fine.
You're going to do it.
Oh, I'm having
tomorrow, basically.
Some issues. I'll be right back.
I mean, you're going
to... Check. Test 1, 2. Test 1, 2.
It's just a lot of deadlines all packed into a few weeks.
Plus, like big thing after thing.
Yeah, it's big friend of the table recording season. It's like more like in it in a way that's like, I'm going to do another 5 or 6 hour podcast today, probably. So, yeah.
Let's keep this one short and sweet.
Yeah, if this can be short and sweet, I would be thrilled. Kato, are you back?
I think so.
Okay.
Am I back?
What happened? Yeah, you are.
All sorts of things.
Good
wires.
Answer.
It's cool. You'll probably hear some of it on the post, bud. It was fun.
Wait, fires?
No, well, kind of, I guess. Metaphorical fires.
Oh, my mic is all
not
fucked.
Not literal.
You sound very far from your mic, Gita.
It's because I was leaning back from it. Hello.
Okay.
Now I'm talking directly into it.
That sounds better.
I was just slouching.
That's fine. I just want to make sure we had the mic situated the right way still.
Yeah, no, I turned it around, so this is what it sounds like with me actually talking into the front of it.
Great. Sounds great, I think. It's really great. It's actually, like, it sounded fine last time over the call, too. That's the thing. But once I had your file, okay. I was like, oh, this
it was
is
just a way.
Wrong.
Mm. Yeah. So waka waka. I don't know who, I think it was my therapist I was explaining to, because I was trying to explain to her why I was talking to her with this giant mic.
Oh.
And I was like, I regularly like fuck up the recording to send to Kato. And when he was like, I think I'm going to get advice, send you equipment. I was like, please help me not ruin your life anymore. I would love to that.
All right.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad, but it's just easier this way.
Can we time dot is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that. My clock is 3.4 seconds behind.
It's always something. It's everyone's is. I don't know what the mechanism is that leads to that, but mine is always off by a little bit, too. I've heard that it's power, what do you call it? Not power unit. What are those things called? Power source. Your power source? Yeah. Is that what they're called?
I think so.
I'm very tired.
I'm sleepy. What if power we podcasted source. From bed?
Supply. It's supply. Power that's supply. Source. Yeah. A power source is something like a superhero has. Your power supply. Not the same thing.
Fucking. Crystals. Probably.
It's probably crystals. All right. 50 seconds. Is that good? Are people ready?
Yep.
Nope. Yep.
All right.
Made it. Just in time.
We did it.
All right.
Oops. International Tea Day. Also, World Day for Cultural Diversity for Dialogue and Development.
Ah. Love to
I like Tea
dialogue.
Day better.
Yeah.
Let's think about Tea Day.
Oh, hey, it's the UN.
Well, of course it is. That's the thing. Yes. Yes. All right. Friday, tomorrow. Tomorrow's Friday.
Oh my god, I'm so fucking ready.
All right, same.